Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. Coming up 20 minutes from now, he is the head football coach of the Utah Utes. Back-to-back Pac-12 champions they are after going down by 14 against USC, just like they did in their first matchup. Instead, this time they blew them out. So the Utes are Pac-12 champions. USC not going to the college football playoff. Utah playing a little spoiler in the Pac-12 to get a team into the college football playoff. You know by now it's going to be Georgia going up against Ohio State, Michigan going up against TCU. So the head football coach since 2004 of Utah, Kyle Whittingham, is going to be joining us 20 minutes from now. But first up, let's get to a little addition, week 13 edition of Proper Reaction or Overreaction.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
Even with how many bad lines Booger McFarland had, that's one of the all-time great lines, HTH, that he is a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end. That is great.
Spot on analysis. The Boogermobile, everything with that Monday Night Football experience, it's all worth it.
I may start using that around here. If we see a few people since the holidays looking like they added on a few pounds, hey, you look like you're a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end. I like that line. It's a good line.
I will not say that, but you just go ahead and use it up.
Well, you don't look like you're a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
I was going to say something mean, but I figure I'm just going to. It's the holiday spirit. I'll just leave it. I'll let it be.
Mean to me?
No. Not mean to you. Mean to people here in general. It was a pretty snarky comment overall.
I think that, what were you going to say? They already ate enough Popeye's biscuits?
No, I was going to say there's a few people you can say that to around here. They'll be using that line a lot. But that was if I was to say the line. But I remember I chose not to say because it's the holiday spirit. I'm going to be nice.
Okay.
Not say a line about the weight of people here.
And also, you being a skinny producer around here and not a fat producer or a large producer, a rotund producer, I don't know. If you're a big guy, you never want to hear the skinny guy making fun of you. You just want to hear another big guy making fun of you.
I agree. I don't have the gravitas in order to, the poundage to be able to throw those insults around.
You didn't eat enough biscuits when you were a kid.
That is true, right.
I feel like when you were a kid, because you're a picky eater now, you were pretty pedestrian when it came to food. Always a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at lunch. Maybe like a little, what was those things called? The Go-Gurts? The yogurts?
Oh, Go-Gurts were a big Go-Gurts, snack growing up. Oh, yeah. Snack, though, not a meal. Because I'm a man. That's not enough for a meal.
I'm a man.
That was just, a little midday snack.
You were definitely, you a Lunchables guy?
No, because I didn't like most of them. Ugh. Ham, cheese, not my thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You don't like charcuterie
boards. I was peanut butter and jelly every single day.
I was a peanut butter sandwich every day. I didn't like jelly.
For pretzels and cookies.
Now, my mom could be a reason why I was a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end. There'd be sometimes she would put M&Ms in the peanut butter sandwich.
Love that combo.
Sometimes just throw those in. Mm, delicious.
Underutilized.
Peanut butter and chocolate, I love.
If you're listening out there, peanut butter sandwich, M&Ms, I think it's the most underrated, not talked about.
1,000%. Wow, a good secret, food tank.
Secret menu item you could possibly have on this earth.
There are a few things, if I'm looking to really munch, that I enjoy. Chocolate with pretzels, chocolate with peanut butter, and then chocolate with graham crackers. Or even chocolate with popcorn. You give me chocolate, you give me graham crackers, pretzels, popcorn. Delicious. Delicious.
Chocolate popcorn? I've never even heard of that.
Like you got some movie theater butter popcorn.
Okay, now we're talking.
And then you like mix in like a handful of chocolate chips.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like if you were partaking in a 420 holiday, let's just say.
Watching a movie.
Yeah, or just hungry. Yeah. And you give me a few chocolate chips, some pretzels, some popcorn, a little scoop of peanut butter, and some graham crackers. Oh, I'm in heaven.
Interesting. Like I said, it's a nice combo if you have like M&M's and popcorn. You mix them in, that's a good taste. But you're right. I guess chocolate would make sense with popcorn.
Yeah,
interesting.
All right. I don't know. There's just something I love about that combination of foods. Anyway, overreaction, proper reaction time. Hickey, what do you got for me today, pal?
All right, in non-food related takes, let's talk about the guy who has claimed today, Baker Mayfield, is going to the Los Angeles Rams. It's been a very bad year, really bad 2 years for Baker Mayfield.
That's like vegetables with chocolate, not a good combination.
Yes, totally, totally agree. Toothpaste and orange juice, not good.
Oh,
anyway.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. I used some mouthwash today. And then I forget what I was going to eat, but it was right afterwards. I went to go get like a snack before coming in there. And I ate, I forget what it was, some snack. And I go, oh, that's disgusting because I used the mouthwash.
Yeah, unless it's like a junior mint or like a piece of gum, there's
horrible.
Nothing you could probably eat.
But you're right. Orange juice, when you were a kid, if you ever brushed your teeth before eating breakfast. I always, as a kid, enjoyed brushing my teeth after breakfast.
Same. I never even get why people would do it the first thing in the morning.
I would wake up, you know, if you have a little smelly breath, you go to the table, it is what it is. But on that rare occasion where you brush your teeth and then had like a glass of orange juice, disgusting. I remember like my senior year of high school, I would drive to school. So you would brush your teeth before leaving the house. There'd be some days I would stop off at the local bagel place, get like an egg everything bagel, some tuna, and then have an OJ. And you take that sip of OJ, you'd be like, oh, because you had the toothpaste already.
Oof. And then tuna on top of it. Oof.
Man, tuna. I love the tuna.
That's
the Long Island Bagel Chalet tuna. Okay. Anyway.
Speaking of tough, Baker Mayfield has been brutal. So here's a take for you. Proper reaction or overreaction? You will feel good about Baker Mayfield's future after this month in L.A.
Overreaction. He doesn't have Cooper Kupp. He doesn't have much in the run game of people that want to be there. The offensive line stinks. And who is he throwing the ball to? Ben Skoranek? Van Jefferson? You know, that could be the smallest combination ever. Quarterback to receiver. Baker Mayfield throwing a 2-2 Atwell. If they ever find a way to get into the end zone.
Get ESPN stats and info on that.
You need like a magnifying glass to find both those guys.
And combined heights is the smallest in NFL history.
You know that gif of McAfee with the telescope? You if you're watching Baker Mayfield and Tutu Atwell, you need the McAfee telescope.
That'd be a stat I'd love to see.
By the way,
touchdown.
So we are going to the Super Bowl this year. And they are sending Hickey this year, which is
good. That's right. Watch out, everyone.
It creates less work for me. I'm putting you on one guy you have to get me on by the end of Super Bowl week. One guy. I'm putting you on a mission. And if he's there, I'm assuming he'll be there because he was there last year. And he walked right past us last year, was like, Zach, you're the man, love you. You know, great to see you. Former colleague of ours, Pat McAfee. We got to get McAfee on during Super Bowl week.
Okay.
And he likes us.
He's not a big shot.
He likes us. No. He walked past us last year because I had a conversation with him when we were in Miami. At the Super Bowl when he was working with us. And we had a very nice conversation. He's like, oh, Zach, you sounded awesome. Great to see you. Walking right past us. He was actually doing an interview with someone else. And he turned to the middle of the interview and gave me like the thumbs up like, yeah. So I'm going to put you on McAfee watch.
All right.
I don't think that was a bad ending with
big
us.
Fan.
Well, CBS Sports Radio McAfee. So he should want to come on, I would think.
Talk about, you know, him being, you know, one of my favorite Colts players back in the day.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You got to bring some Colts swag.
I don't have a number one jersey.
That's fine. Bring some Colts swag to the Super Bowl. It's the one time I'm going to be okay with you wearing some Colts gear. That's fine. You can wear Colts gear. There
okay.
are people.
All right.
There's no. At this radio row, you have so many jackasses in the media that just dress not traditional media. I know you. You want to be in like your salmon looking pants and
that's right.
some college
shirt. I'll
be
looking good.
You're wearing a Colts shirt one day.
Just right. to get Pat over.
Yeah, just to get Pat.
Okay.
Over. And then we'll trash the Colts.
As I am listening to the boss's orders, as everyone just heard nationally, wear Colts shirt. That is exactly what Zach said. Yeah. All right. Number two here,
Z-Man. You're praising the Titans today, and I'm telling you to wear Colts gear. Look
it
at
is,
us now.
It is backwards. It is opposite day today on the Zach Gelb Show. That is for sure.
Okay.
The Chiefs, they are losers against the Bills. They are losers against the Bengals, the three best teams. Those three teams considered to be the three best in the AFC. They did lose home field advantage now, the number one seed, and they, again, are winless against the Bengals. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Chiefs are no longer the team to beat in the AFC.
Now, they could still get the number one seed back because their schedule is cupcake easy. But I would say right now when you lose to the Bengals and you also lose to the Bills, I can't say you're the team to beat until proven otherwise. So, yeah, I think it's a proper reaction.
The Eagles are clearly the team to be right now in the NFC. They are 11-1. Overreaction and proper reaction, the Vikings are their biggest challenger in the NFC.
The Vikings?
The Vikings.
No, that's an overreaction. The Vikings got blown out by the Eagles. The Vikings also got blown out by the Cowboys. I would say right now it's the Cowboys. Remember, inside that division, played them tight without Dak Prescott. You'll see that matchup on Thanksgiving Eve. I'm pretty sure. Thanksgiving Eve. Christmas Eve. I'm still in the Thanksgiving mode. You'll see that on Christmas Eve, that matchup. So I would say it's the Cowboys.
Speaking of the Vikings, Mike White played decent against Minnesota in their loss, having a few trips to the red zone. Did not come up clutch for one last score. Those 27-22. Overreaction or proper reaction, Mike White will be the Jets' quarterback for the rest of the season.
The rest of the season? This is the biggest proper reaction I've ever heard. Barring injury, Mike White will be starting every game down the stretch, weeks 14 to 18, for the JETS, Jets, and any playoff games, if there is a postseason for the Jets. You see the way the players walked in with Mike White shirts? Yeah, it's over for Zach Wilson this year. It's over. I think it's over in New York. I don't think he's ever going to start a game barring injury for the Jets again.
How about Jared Goff's future? Could it still be in Detroit past 2022? The Lions do have a top five pick in large part because of the Rams. Matthew Stafford trade and them just deep, bottoming out this season for sure. But Jared Goff has played well. The Lions have really turned around the second half. Overreaction or proper reaction, Jared Goff will be the Lions starting quarterback in 2023.
Now, I've never seen this Twitter account before, but it's got 41,000 followers. And it is verified. Let's see if it's an actual verified account or if they pay for it. No, this account is verified. Oh, because it's subscribed to Twitter Blue. Ooh,
they paid for it.
They paid for it.
But 41K is still legit. Who is this?
It is NFL Rookie Watch.
Hmm.
Brandon Deacon, who is an independent analyst, founder of NFL Rookie Watch. I report on future and current NFL prospects. Contact via DM. So can I clarify this or preface this with saying take it with a grain of salt?
Absolutely. Let's hear it.
An anonymous NFL GM said the Texans are going to be taking a QB with their first pick in the draft. That's what he said. CJ Stroud and Bryce Young are currently tied as the favorite to be the first QB selected at the draft. What kind of tweet is this, by the
way?
Wait,
this is real?
Yeah.
I thought this was... Wait. Thanks, buddy. I could have tweeted that. I will subscribe to Twitter below, get a check mark, and say, according to my sources, the Texans will be picking number one overall in the 2023 draft.
So Bryce Young is trending on Twitter, and I just saw this, and I'm like, what the heck are we doing here? Like, why is that even out there?
I love this. Oh, push CJ Stroud.
Well, we all know Bryce Young's going to be the number one overall pick. Sorry to burst your bubble.
Well, again, it's a Texans pick, and anything can happen.
Can you just stop with this nonsense? Your team.
I will save you in the audience, but I already have a plan for Colts get Bryce Young. So, again, okay. I'll save it for...
No, I want to hear it. Go ahead. Let's hear your stupidity.
I'm going to spam the Texans with highlights of everyone but Bryce Young. They pick anyone but Bryce Young. Colts trade up to the number two with the Bears, and all of a sudden now there's Bryce Young on the Colts. You have a connection there, Ryan Poles and Chris Ballard. Their former head coach, or the current head coach of the Bears, was the former DC in Matt Eberflus for the Colts. There's some natural lines of communication open there. They have Justin Fields, who's playing well down the stretch.
The kids are out of school today. Okay.
If you're the Bears, would you rather have pick, let's say, number 8 and a first rounder next year?
Just stop.
Would you rather have the number 2 overall pick and draft a receiver there? I know what I would do.
Do me a favor. This NFL Rookies watch account is more realistic than what you just said.
And he said they're tied for first with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. That's all I heard, baby. So let's go. C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. The question was that Jared Goff
was playing his way to being a starter for the Lions in 2023.
I think so, because I believe at that point both Bryce Young and Stroud are going to be off the board.
Okay, let's finish
up. And even if so, if they draft one of them, I still think Goff could be the starter next year. And then you have one of those guys sit. And it's not going to be Young. It would be Stroud if that's the case.
Maybe take a project guy like Anthony Richardson.
Let me give you an overreaction, a proper reaction. Ooh, the Lions right now are 5-7. They are a favorite this weekend as they host the Vikings, according to Vegas.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Down the stretch, the Lions schedule. Vikings, at the Jets, at the Panthers, Chicago, and at Green Bay. Overreaction or proper reaction? The Lions are a playoff contender.
Uh-oh. I will say overreaction.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Overreaction. Nice story.
What happens if they get to 6-7 this weekend?
I will still say overreaction.
Okay.
Still say overreaction, because it's still, you got three teams that are better than the Commanders, Giants, and Seahawks. I'll trust none of the two of the three. Don't bottom out completely.
Gotcha. Okay.
Let's wrap up with this, C-Man. Big news of the day is the Titans firing their GM, John Robinson, despite him having a winning record in each of his seasons at the helm there in Tennessee and on his way to his third straight division title. Overreaction or proper reaction? This is the right move from Tennessee.
I think it's a proper reaction, because you're saying we're good, we're not great, so let's get rid of the GM. And we keep on saying Mike Vrabel is the guy that's winning with less. If he had an issue with John Robinson, you got to get rid of John Robinson, because you can't afford to want Mike Vrabel to leave that organization. So proper reaction right there. That's all we got, Correctamundo?
All we got.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we check in with the head football coach of the Utah Utes, back-to-back Pac-12 champs. His name is Kyle Whittingham. He joins us next.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Utah back-to-back Pac-12 champions after their victory on Friday night up against USC. The Utes are off to the Rose Bowl once again, where they have a date with the Penn State Nittany Lions. And now joining us is the coach of the back-to-back Pac-12 champion Utah Utes, and Kyle Whittingham. Coach, first off, congratulations. Appreciate the time. I would ask you how you're doing, but I think I know the answer to that one.
Well, yeah, we're in a pretty good situation right now, but always challenges ahead. Next up is the Rose Bowl, as you mentioned, and big challenge in Penn State. Good football team, and we're going to have to be at our best.
I talked to you before the start of the season about what last year meant to you. How do you put it into words now of what it means to go back-to-back as Pac-12 champs?
Well, I think that speaks to the the consistency of our program, and we were all season long, off season long, I should say, since January, talking about how it's tougher to stay on top than it is to get to the top, and that was our challenge. And last year, we got to the top finally after a lot of hard work and efforts, and to be able to repeat, I think, just speaks to the toughness and resiliency and talent level of our players and coaching staff. You know, we got a great assistant coaching staff here, and to be able to sustain that success and build on it from last year was huge for our program.
Obviously a joyous occasion after the game, but what was the scene like in your locker room if you had to describe it for us?
It was crazy. I mean, the guys were, excited because going in, we felt like not many people were giving us a chance. You know, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that the Trojans were going to the playoffs and Caleb was going to win the Heisman, which still may happen. You know, who knows? He's a heck of a quarterback. But we just felt that maybe we were getting a little bit, I don't want to say slighted, but nobody really thought that we had a chance to win that thing. And so when we actually got it done, our players were very excited about that.
And as you know, you guys beat them earlier in the year. You were down by 14. You came back. You won the game. This time, once again, down by 14. This time around, you blew them out. What really changed defensively after going down 17-3?
Well, we had a couple blown assignments in the first quarter, blown coverages in particular that led to a couple scores. And once we settled in and got our feet on the ground and got our composure back in that second quarter, we played lights out the rest of the way. And so never really panicked. And Coach Scally and his staff on defense did a phenomenal job with the game plan. You know, it was a game plan to bring pressure, and we brought it to 60% or more during that game, which is about double our usual average. And so it ended up paying dividends, but really it was just a matter of getting the defense settled in and stop making those mental errors and playing assignment sound football.
Kyle Whittingham here with us. What is there to say at this point about your quarterback in Cam Rising? Because I love watching him play week in and week out.
You and me both. And he's tough as nails, first of all. His toughness is second to none. His leadership is second to none. The it factor, the field general mentality that he has is all exactly what you look for in a quarterback. And it was really exemplified by that hit he took in that game. I mean, he got popped, and helmet flew off, and jumped back on his feet smiling and ready to go. And that really is who he is. I mean, he's just a competitive kid, and he's a guy that gives you everything he's got every single week.
Coach, it was like a scene from a movie. His hair was flowing. He got back up in a half second. I couldn't believe that he got up that quickly.
I know. But like I said, he's a unique kid, and the players love him and respect him. He's our team leader without a doubt, and that was just one example why.
Is there a chance he's back next year?
We hope so. You know, we're having those conversations, and we want what's in Cam's best interest, and, we're doing all the right, taking all the right measures and steps to find out what draft status would be, and when weighing the pros and cons, and obviously ultimately it's up to him and his family, but we're all collaborating right now and trying to determine what is best for him.
How do you think his game projects at the next level? Like, what would you say to NFL teams if they ask you about your quarterback?
I would say it projects very well. I think he's underrated. Now it's hard to say because he's in QBR, he's in the top 10 in the nation and won a bunch of games here, but I still don't think he's getting the recognition that he deserves. And there's been talk, if he does come back, putting on a Heisman campaign for him to try to get him some notoriety and elevate his draft status.
You said underrated about your quarterback. I know you're going to hate this question when talking about yourself, but once you win that game for the second year in a row, everyone's tweeting Kyle Whittingham, most underrated coach in the country, top 10, top 5 coach in the sport. Do you sense that, or is it like, okay, you're going to just tell me you don't care?
I don't. I really don't. I just go about my business trying to do what's best for our team and our players. And college football is all about players. It's not about coaches. It's not about who's this coach and ranked where. It's all about the players. They're the ones out there making the plays and putting on the show, and that's what I'm all about, is making sure that we do everything in our program that's in our players' best interest.
Coach, you've been at Utah since 1994, the head coach since 2005. You're 63 years old. By the way, happy belated birthday. I know you're under contract.
Thank you.
But how much longer do you plan on doing this thing?
That's a great question. Right now, I'm as passionate, as energized as I've ever been. And so I think, I'm hoping, but I'm hoping that I'll know when the time is right. And one thing I don't want to do is overstay, you know, this, you see oftentimes coaches just stay a little bit too long and ending on not a real positive note. And so I don't want to be that guy, but right now I'm very excited about what we got going on and direction we're heading.
Well, keep doing what you're doing the last 2 years, Coach. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
All right, well, we'll try. We're giving it our best shot, trust me.
You've seen him now twice. I know he's going to be a finalist in New York. We'll see him later in the week here in New York City. Kyle Whittingham here with us. I'm talking about the quarterback, Caleb Williams of USC. Just what are your impressions after seeing him twice?
Tremendous player. I mean, we've obviously got two firsthand looks at him. One of the toughest quarterback to sack we've ever come across. Now, we did get to him seven times in this last game, but his mobility wasn't what it usually is as the game progressed. But you talk about a guy that can sense the rush, move around in the pocket while keeping his eyes downfield and escaping, you know, up the middle, out to the edges. I mean, he's got a myriad of ways that he can extend the play. And the real strength that he has is once he does extend it is, he finds receivers downfield because, like I said, he keeps his eyes downfield. And if there's nothing there, I don't know how fast he is, but he's got to be 4-5 or better. He can really pick him up and put him down when he takes off and ripped off a couple of really long runs versus us in the two games that we played him. So I think he's terrific. And if he wins the Heisman, I would think that would be very deserving.
What was your reaction when you saw that he put on his nails F Utah when you saw that?
I don't pay attention to that stuff. It's not my style or our style, but, judge not. So whatever.
Kyle Whittingham here with us, back-to-back Pac-12 champions, head coach of the Utah Utes. The Rose Bowl, give me your first thought once again in this game. I know opt-outs are always a concern, but it seems like that's not an issue with your program.
Well, Penn State's a good football team. Haven't had a lot of time to dive into the tape yet, but I know they got a couple really good freshman running backs, each of them nearing 1,000 yards. I think one's 900-something, one's 800-something. Physical style of football. They play good defense. It reminds me a lot of our program, their approach and how they play solid defense and run the football effectively. And so I think there's a lot of similarities between the two programs.
Well, I love Penn State's athletic director, Pat Kraft, maybe a guy that went to Temple University, but my producer is right now, Coach, wearing a Penn State shirt. And I don't like to see my producer happy, so make him miserable on the second, all right?
We'll do our best. We will do our best.
Last thing I'll ask you, Deion Sanders coming to the Pac-12, what do you think this means for the conference?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, obviously it just happened, and so, I'm not sure what my take is on it. All I know is he was wildly successful at Jackson State and got things turned around right away there and had a terrific run. And, Coach Prime, what more can you say? I'm sure he's going to be very popular on the recruiting trail. And it's all about getting the right players in the program. Recruiting is 80% of your success in college football. And I'm fairly certain that he'll do a good job in that area. So we'll have to see what happens.
Has it hit you yet that this is starting to sink in what you guys have accomplished the last 2 years?
A little bit. It's still not completely. We're still, knee-deep in recruiting and trying to get ready for the bowl game, and it never stops. I mean, there's rarely an opportunity you can sit back and take a breath and soak it all in, but I'm sure at some point that'll come.
Well, Coach, once again, been fun watching your team throughout the year. Congratulations on back-to-back Pac-12 champs, and always appreciate when you carve out some time for us.
Okay, appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to a little draft here. We are now going to 14 weeks on the NFL season. I'll have 5 selections. Hickey will have 5 selections. Do we have a little NFL music? Ah, look at that. All right, Hickey, heads or tails? I got to find the coin. Hold on.
All right, we are holding.
Hold on.
Now, this is going to be a Jerome Bettis situation where I call it in the air.
You mishear
it. Oh, sorry. What'd you say, tails? Oh,
I got heads. $20.
Oh, wow.
And 25 cents in the wallet.
Beautiful. That's what we need.
I was walking around with a lot of cash this past month. Right, I have to actually use the plastic and use the cards because I won some money at the casino when I went to the casino for a bachelor party.
Wow.
But now that cash is dwindling down. All righty. Heads or tails? What do you want?
We'll go tails.
Should I just throw it up in the air and not even...
Yeah, see where it lands.
Okay. You said tails, right?
Tails.
Heads. Funny how that works. All right, I get the first pick here then. Give me the Bills. I'm going Buffalo.
I will then take the best quarterback in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs.
See, now, I'm going to take a risk here. I should go with one team, but I'm not going to pick them. Because I don't think you'll pick them. You went with the Chiefs, right?
Chiefs.
I'm going Bengals.
All right, I'll take the Eagles.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh, yeah, you're going to get it to me. I'll take them, without a doubt.
Oh.
In a Super Bowl draft? Oh, yeah.
I thought for sure you weren't going to take the Eagles. That's why I passed up on them. Because you yesterday, I believe in the 49ers. Oh, the 49ers are going to go to the Super Bowl. They're still the team to beat in the NFC. What changed? What changed?
Well, because I left them. You take them.
No. What changed?
Like I said, if I didn't take them there, you're going to take them. Then you're going to have the Bills, the Bengals, and the Eagles. Got to match it up here. This is more about just, you know, matchup-wise than, you know, actually my beliefs in terms
of...
Who I think will make
it
number one, number two.
It's based off your beliefs.
No, it is, but it's also who's on the board.
That just backfired. I really didn't think you were going to take the Eagles because you've been so confident with the 49ers.
As it's saying, cards, you play your opponent, not the hand.
Okay. So now I have to circle back in on the NFC. Dallas.
This is tough here. I'll go with my squad, 49ers.
Wow, that really did backfire on me. Now, let me ask you this, just to go back. If I would have taken the Eagles, who would you then have taken?
Bengals.
You would have taken the Bengals?
Yes.
Okay, and then you still would have got the 49ers because I probably wouldn't have taken the 49ers. Okay, so I have the Bills, the Bengals, and the Cowboys. Hickey has the Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Niners. This shows you how little I believe in the AFC after those three teams, the Bills, the Chiefs, and then the Bengals. All righty. I'm going to hold my nose when I do this. The Minnesota Vikings.
All right. I will say, until we have done this exercise, you don't really realize how small the pool is of teams you feel good about until... We're sitting here. Like, I wrote down teams just so I'm quick. I'm struggling just to write 10 teams down. So, not feeling great with that said, I will dip my toe.
And you got to make 2 selections here.
I back one more. Into the AFC waters. Okay. I will go the Miami Dolphins.
So the AFC is pretty much out.
Well, there's a team that you feel good about, the Ravens.
No. I've done a 180 now on the Ravens.
There's the Jets that are spunky.
I know the field, unlike you. I know who I'm taking here. I come prepared, but since you mentioned the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, he suffered that sprained PCL during Sunday's win over the Broncos, per Schefter. The PCL injuries often sideline players 1 to 3 weeks, and Ravens head coach Sean Harbaugh
Artie has said Jackson is less likely to play Sunday versus the Steelers. It just seems like this isn't the Ravens' year. The Lamar injury, we know the other injuries that they suffered. Those four losses really stand out to you because they blew all four of those games, had commanding leads. So I can't go with the Ravens there. Titans, I can't see him getting the Super Bowl. But I already picked the Vikings. You know what? I don't think this team's going to the Super Bowl. But out of the options that I have, I'll go with Tom Brady. Brady just gets on a run. I'll go with the Bucs. Was that the team you were going to pick?
Oh, I was waiting for you to pass him over. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I saw you drop an expletive right there. So I just
I was ready. Ready to take your guy with the last pick and feel good
about
it.
I know who you're going to pick here.
Who?
Actually, I don't think you do.
What the hell? I take Mr. Irrelevant. Just take whoever you want.
I know you're going to take here.
Who?
You're going Tennessee.
No.
Is it AFC or NFC?
AFC.
Oh, then you're going Baltimore.
No.
Mike White?
No.
The Chargers?
I am taking the Chargers and the upside. I am hoping that they're healthy, which is a big hope, but hey.
They haven't been healthy all year.
They've got the talent, at least on paper, to, you know, maybe make some noise. I'll just take a shot in the dark with my last pick. Don't feel good about anyone else. I don't trust the Ravens' defense or Lamar Jackson's injury. I can't take anyone right now in the NFC. I can't take the Giants. I'm not taking the Commanders. I'm not taking the Seahawks. No disrespect to Pete Carroll.
See?
And Geno Smith over there. Not taking the Titans. I will just take a gamble here on like a 1,000-to-1 team and see what happens.
Okay. So the Super Bowl draft, which backfired on me. I still like my teams, but I really thought Hickey was just not going to pick the Eagles with how much he has hyped up the 49ers. I thought that was going to be his first selection. But then I will say this. Hickey, you're learning things because you knew I wasn't going to take the 49ers.
That's right.
So if I should have thought about that. You know, maybe, man, usually you're not two steps ahead of the game. You're not. But today you were.
As soon as you started talking about, I know you're not taking this team. I know exactly where your brain was talking about. So I said, all right, fine. I'll take them.
It's a good job, but I didn't think you had the guts to do so because you get so caught up what people say about you. So if you take the Eagles, people then say, oh, it's fraudulent. You know, Hickey's a hot take artist, a scam artist.
Scam artist? Well, I'm not calling people up here. Not, you know.
Well,
asking for their credit card numbers because I'm in a hole and need help.
To take a word from John Heyman, it appeared to me that you were not going to take the Eagles. And I was wrong.
Just like John Heyman, you were wrong. Arson Judge is right now still unsigned. And
yeah. You took the Arson Eagles, not the Philadelphia Eagles? So I took the Bills, Bengals, Cowboys, Vikings, Bucks, Chiefs, Eagles, 49ers, Dolphins, and Chargers to Hickey. Well, I should probably say I take the Bills, Bengals, Cowboys, Vikings, Bucks. Hickey goes with the Chiefs, Eagles, 49ers, Dolphins, Chargers. What did you learn from that exercise when we do that heading into week 14?
I mean, we've talked about it, so it's not exactly a shock, but until you actually write it down, the few teams you actually feel good about, it really is like 4 to 6, depending on, you know, how you feel about a certain team or two, but there's no more than 6 teams that actually can compete for a Super Bowl this year.
So in the AFC, it's easy. One of the 3 teams, it's going to be the Bengals, the Chiefs, or the Bills. You would agree if anyone else gets to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, you would be pleasantly surprised.
Very surprised, yes.
In the NFC right now, it's Philadelphia, right? You feel really good about the Eagles.
They're in the mix without a doubt.
After that, I do think it's the Cowboys, and I would think then after that it's the Vikings. Now, I would have probably catapulted the 49ers into that conversation before the Jimmy G injury with the way that they played up against the Dolphins, but the fact that Jimmy G got hurt, I know that he could be eligible to return because he doesn't need the surgery, and he may be back by divisional weekend. That's assuming that there's no setbacks. Like, that was 7 to 9 weeks is the expected injury healing time. So that is the earliest divisional weekend. That's if everything goes right. I have a tough, like, does Jimmy G play another game this year for the 49ers, yes or no?
I would still lean no.
I would lean no because I don't see them in an NFC title game right now. And if they do get to an NFC title game and Brock Purdy was good enough to get you there, are you really pulling Brock Purdy if he played a role in getting you there? If this is not Brock Purdy just becomes Jimmy Garoppolo, in that NFC title game where he only throws the ball 9 times, if they're asking him to throw 18 times or so, 20 times or so, 23 times, and he does a decent job, how do you pull the guy then? If he continues to, like, I'm not saying he's going to continue to win games and be this great quarterback, but how would you then pull the guy if he's playing well down the stretch and leading into the playoffs?
And especially go to a guy that, yes, Jimmy Garoppolo has a ton of playoff experience, but he's also would be 2 months on the shelf. And the most important time, like, it's ice, he's ice cold. Like, and I think it's tough in a playoff atmosphere to kind of ask a guy who's been on the bench for now 2 months to come in and play his best game of the season. It's a stretch, you know?
I'm 100% with you. Now, this 49ers schedule the rest of the way, they are right now sitting at 8-4. They play Tampa this weekend. Who wins that game? Game is in Santa Clara.
49ers.
I agree with you. And I think that will surprise you, but I think it's the obvious thing of the Tampa Bay offensive line is horrible. And that 49ers, Nick Bosa could have 7 sacks in this game. Or Donovan Smith's going to get hold for 19,000 holding penalties.
He'll draw 10 penalties. Yeah. So
you know what? Nick Bosa's actually going to get screwed out of 8 sacks in this game because he's going to be getting held the entire time by Donovan. So I agree with you. The 49ers get a win this week. They're 9-4. They play Seattle Thursday night in Seattle. That's a tough place for Brock Purdy to go in and win. In Seattle, 12th man, short week. Those fans getting all looped up. That place rocking. I would go Seattle. You? Here comes the constant disrespect ticket.
Yeah, I'll go Seattle. I'll give it to Pete Carroll.
Commanders, Christmas Eve.
Wait for the Niners.
Okay. At the Raiders.
Win for the Niners.
Final game of the season. Cardinals.
Win for the Niners.
So you only have one loss for them.
4-1 down the stretch.
And you know what?
I don't feel like...
I can't really kill you on that.
Same about the L in Seattle.
But that schedule's not... Like, Tampa, it's going to be a close game. Seattle, it's going to be a close game. They should beat the Commanders, Vegas, and the Cardinals.
Even with Brock Purdy, absolutely. That roster is good enough.
Because all Brock Purdy needs to do is just be a game manager. He does not need to go... Throw the ball deep down. You got to just utilize your offensive line and your speed there. Debo in the short passing game, maybe even out of the backfield too, and you got run CMC.
George Kittle.
Yeah, Kittle too, which is for a young quarterback, tight end is a big-time friend as well. So that should be – like if you look at the playoff field right now in the NFC, you will agree that the Eagles will be the 1 seed, Vikings will be the 2, 49ers will be the 3, Bucks will be the 4.
Yes.
So the rest of the playoff picture, it looks like the Cowboys are going to be penciled in as the 5. Who's 6 and 7? Because you're picking between the Commanders, the Giants, and the Seahawks.
I will still say the Seahawks. That was a tough tie. I'll go the Commanders. They'll get the home field advantage.
I just think the Commanders have more talent.
True.
Because you look at the Giants, it's been incredible what Daboll has done. Not that I trust Taylor Ham Heineke so much, but Daniel Jones to me is not that great. You know, he's nothing special. Saquon Barkley is starting to slow down a little bit. And receivers, they have nothing at the wide receiving position. And defensively, like, yeah, they got some players, but it's not what the defensive front is for the Commanders. And you look at the Commanders' offense, I think Jahan Dotson right now would be the number one wide receiver on the Giants. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you have scary Terry McLaurin, who is it feels like a top 10 wide receiver in the game. And I like their 1-2 punch at the running back position, even though Saquon's a better player. But I like the combination of Brian Robinson and also Antonio Gibson.
And you should be getting Chase Young back at some point, you think. I mean, we talked about it. But
we've been talking about it.
I know we have.
We were in his hotel room at the draft, and he made it seem as if he was going to play week 1. He hasn't played yet.
No, and it's week 14. Not good.
Remember I had said to him, I'll blink once if you're playing week 1, and he made it seem like he was playing.
Duffy was not a definitive no, without a doubt.
Yeah. He goes, I don't want to say anything, but, you know, I'm ahead of schedule. He's ahead of schedule in the rehab process. His words, not mine. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The holidays are only a few days away. Are you ready? Find that perfect gift for someone special with jewelry from Blue Nile. Right now, during Blue Nile's site-wide holiday sale, get deals on their endless selection of bold gold styles, gemstone jewelry, and classic diamond pieces. Need your piece fast? Order today and get free two-day shipping. Shop now and save up to 40% on the season's most stunning trends at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.